Ephesians chapter 4. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
We have a God we can praise. What I mean by that is a God that is worthy to be praised. In Israel last year, I stood up on the Mount of Olives and I looked down at the dome of the rock. You've seen the pictures of that, the big gold dome in Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is what it is. The temple set will be rebuilt again one day. As I stood there, I looked to my right, I looked to my left, and in all directions, all you could see was Muslim mosque everywhere. And I stood there, and it's just a beautiful set. I stood there, and I thought to myself, you heard the Muslim call to prayer. It was eerie. You know, because it would echo off of those mountains. It would go off of the speakers from the buildings, and they would have their Muslim calls to prayer. I took video of it. Look around at all the shrines that are everywhere. I can't help but think, these people are serving a dead God. I'm grateful that I've got something that's real. And it's real because I know it's real in my heart. I'm so thankful for it. The world falling apart. I know that I'm heaven bound. And I can rejoice in it. Let me just read a scripture to you. Stand to your feet if you're in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just give you a few practical gifts for Christmas. Can I do that? Just some practical gifts for Christmas. I think we find it in verse 32. The Lord brought this to my heart. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I love this statement. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Thank you for standing. I know that many of us have probably read that verse or heard that verse hundreds and hundreds of times. For whatever reason, the Lord has brought that to my heart. And so let me just read it, share a couple of things with you concerning it. Come to Christmas time, and I remember last year, I was contemplating about what I was going to get my wife for Christmas this year, or last year. And so I contacted my mother-in-law, and I said, I need you to find something for me. I don't know exactly where to find it or guide me in where to go. And I expressed what the gift was that I was contemplating giving to her. And as only a mother-in-law can do, expressed a level of displeasure with what I was going to give, and I have a good mother-in-law, and I'm grateful for it, but you know how they can be, fellas. You know what I'm talking about sometimes. They can do that. And I said, look, we're past some of that. I said, we're looking for practical gifts, things that we can really use, things that will really matter to us. And so I went ahead and got it, and she loved the gift that I got for her last year. This year I've got her something she's even going to love even more. Yeah, me and Charlie Grant went out and got it Thursday night, actually. Practical gifts of Christmas. You come to the point in your life where you realize that the practical things is really, really what matters. You know, when you were younger, you wanted a bunch of stuff that you didn't need. Stuff that would just eventually break and you would throw into a closet at some point and you would never really, you know, you might get 2 or 3 months out of it, enjoyment or whatever it might be. But you come to the point in life where you realize the value of practical gifts. The Lord just brought this to my mind, verse number 32 here, because couldn't we say that these are some practical gifts that we need to give to one another at Christmas time? And I think that each one of us can attest and we can say, if we're honest, fear that many times we as Christians and the church as a whole, I've told you before that you can sing a lie as much as you can say a lie. And sometimes we sing a whole lot of lies when we sing about the amazing grace of God and how it should really stir our hearts, but it's evident that it doesn't. And then, of course, standing on the promises, but we sure are, as they say, sitting on the premises. There's just no joy in our hearts. And sometimes we're guilty of that, aren't we? I'm afraid sometimes that we as Christians in the Lord's church today, we're just not real honest with ourselves about where we are. But if we were honest, I think that all of us could say that these are some practical gifts that we could give to everybody at Christmas. They're not gifts that you'll wrap up and stick a big bow on top of to be able to give to somebody. But if there's a few gifts that I'd love to give you this year, just me as a man to you as a man or a woman, it would be some of these things. Because they're things that will matter. They're things that will really make a difference in your life. Not only will they make a difference in your life, but it'll break the chains of things in mine and yours. You can look first of all, and we just look at this, and it says, be ye kind one to another. Just be kind to people. Through the years, we've had people come to us and say, it's a special time of year. Is there something that you know of we can do for somebody to help them for Christmas and for Thanksgiving? Or sometimes just any other time through the year, I just want to be a blessing to somebody. I love that because it's a symbol of what Christ has done for us. What He kind does. Hasn't He been kind to us today? To just experience the presence of God. That living God. And we don't have to have the fancy calls to prayer. That people just go through their rituals of. We have a living God that has been kind to us. So let me tell you today, as you live today and you move on through this season, could I encourage you maybe to just have that temperament of kindness to one another. Be ye kind one to another. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking in our study in Titus. As you came, I believe it was in verse 12, if I'm not mistaken, where it talked about how that they were liars. It talked about how that they were lazy, but it talked about lewd. And grafted into that was rudeness. How so oftentimes we're just mean. I've really tried hard to work on this in my own life. I don't mean to be mean at any time, but sometimes you just got stuff on your mind and it's your disposition that just looks so ungracious. You don't mean to be, but you're overwhelmed with stuff. And our disposition just seems that. And it's a reflection of a lack of kindness that we need to have. May God help us this year to remember during this time of Christmas that kindness is shown through our disposition. It is shown through our actions. Let's be diligent this year to just be kind. Kind one to another. I think that's a practical gift of Christmas. Wouldn't you agree? Be ye kind one to another. So write that down and remember that. Write it in your margin. Type it in your phone. Stamp it in your heart. Give a practical gift of Christmas this year. Be kind one to another. Last night we were walking back from the parade. It wasn't a funeral. Walking back from the parade, I don't know where that came from. And we were walking back towards the car. We were still coming up on the main square of Chickamauga there. People everywhere, and there was it looked like a family. It looked like a father, his adult son, and then maybe his son's wife, and maybe a child. And I was passing out tracts and invitations as I walked back, and I handed this to this family. There was four or five or six of them there. And they said, no, thank you. But they seemed like nice guys, you know, nice, good-looking family. They said, no, thank you. The first thing that came to my mind is I wanted to tell them something. Look, this is an invitation to come to a Christmas program. You're going to have a good time. At least take it. And but I didn't, thank God. And I said, okay. I said, well, thank you for your time. Continued to walk by. And I got three or four steps, and the older one stopped me. The older man stopped me. He said, come back here. I stepped back, and he said, what is that? I said, it's an invitation to a Christmas program that we're having on the 19th. And I said, it's a tract from our church. What church? I said, Linwood Baptist Church. Oh, Linwood Baptist Church. I don't think he had a clue where we were or anything, but you know, he acted like he did. And he said, well, let me tell you the reason that we reacted the way that we did. He said, just a few moments before, there was some Jehovah's Witnesses that come by here. And tried to share their propaganda, I guess, with them. The man said this. He said how puzzled that I was by it because they don't even really believe in Christmas. And here they are at a Christmas parade. I thought to myself right then, I'm so glad. I got a chance to talk to him a little bit. I'm so glad that I did not react in a negative way, the way that the devil, that inner vexation that comes up with us, the day that the devil could have used that to push somebody away from the things of God. May we daily remember that, to be kind to one another, be a blessing to one another that way. Maybe today you need to be kind to somebody, maybe in this building, somebody that's hurting, maybe some people that I expressed to you a few minutes ago that were going through some devastating times. Maybe you've already forgotten about it. Maybe you just need to be intentional today. Take them some donuts. Send them a card. Send them a text. Be kind to people. Gets a little deeper here, though, doesn't it? Be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Tender hearted. We see some tenderness here. I've often told you that one of the things I love about you, dear folk, is that so many of you just so tender-hearted. You can't speak sometimes without expressing that tender heart through tears. Wouldn't it be great if we all just got a heart that was melted? Melted by God that this world saw. Our hearts were tender toward the things of God, but toward others, that they could look and they could see there's something having to do with that individual that I really do want to have a part of. Remember, we were just talking about that hard heart we so easily get. And our Lord tells us right here through the pen of the Apostle Paul, be ye kind, but be tender-hearted. Don't you think kindness would lead to a tender heart? Maybe if we're just a little bit more kind, we would find that our heart would be melted a little bit more. And sensitive to the things of God instead of just shutting it off. Have you ever been in a church service before where you sat and you thought, literally, I'm glad this person's here so they can hear this. I wish this person was here so they could hear this. Yeah, you have. Come on now. When in reality, maybe it's God that put us here so we could hear this, but our hearts are so hard. We got such a wall up. We've been hurt so bad. We're skeptical about everything. We can't remember the last time that we just shared. Tenderheartedness. Practical gift at Christmas. May we show this world, may we show the rest of us a tender heart. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. It really gets deep right here. Forgive. one another. Practical gift of Christmas, we can certainly say, would be kindness, tender-heartedness, kindness shown to others, tender-heartedness, starting here that other people would enjoy the benefit of. Forgiving one another. I can honestly say, I don't know of anybody around here that's not forgiven somebody else. I don't know if this is even relevant. I have to think it is in some way because of who we are. Who is it in your life that you need to forgive? Maybe it's that parent. Maybe you think they did you wrong. My father came to me many years ago and he said, "Have I ever done anything that I need to ask forgiveness to you for?" There was one thing that came to mind. I said, "But you weren't really responsible." It was something that happened with Mom, but it had been taken care of before she died. It wasn't anything big. It was having to do with schoolwork. I just didn't appreciate the way she approached it. Anybody homeschooled has probably been there. Appreciate the way she approached that. But I appreciated that tender heart. He said, "As a dad, what have I done to you as my son? Has there been anything?" Nothing prompted it. He was just concerned about it. It's been years ago. Forgiving one another. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a spouse. Husband, wife, whatever it might be. She just feels done you wrong. You know, one of the hardest things we'll ever have to do is to go approach somebody, Brother Joel, who's done us wrong. The person may not even know they've done you wrong. But boy, it's sure eating you up. May not be eating them up because they don't even know it, but it's eating you up, and that Spirit of God, you ought to be thankful for that. It's that Spirit of God, that spiritual conscience that says, you got to deal with this. Sometimes you have to forgive people even if they don't come and ask you to forgive them. Now, I believe in the principle, there is no repentance, there is no forgiveness. I certainly believe that principle. But so it doesn't eat us up and destroy us. Sometimes we've got to come to the place in our heart to where we let it go. Let it go. And it's a sibling. Maybe it's a neighbor. Old friend that did you wrong. One of the most uncomfortable topics you'll talk about is probably forgiveness. Because so many of us have been cut so deep. It hurts so bad. But I am telling you that if it is not dealt with, it will be a cancer. It's not going to destroy the other person necessarily so much. You can't fix that. But it will destroy you. It will destroy you. And I've seen it time and again. There was a dear friend in my life years ago. This has probably been 20, 25 years ago. Serving in a position in the church. One of the reasons I'm so gentle about this is the person in leadership of that church, and this is a far distant place, came in and found somebody better to serve in that particular spot. Better meaning more talented, qualified, can we put it that way, I guess. And the person in leadership of that spot removed the person that was there to insert the other person. The people involved of that family that got removed got so bitter inside. To the point physical sickness came over them. And I mean, and they would admit it. They would admit it. This is the source of my issue. Physical sickness would come over them. Just ate them alive. They were never right again. Forgiveness, friends. Imagine some of us right now are thinking about those people that we just need to get things right with, straightened out with. May God help us today to have a practical gift of Christmas that we give to other people, and not only kindness, not only tender heart, but forgiving one another. And you see it here. Why should we do that? There's the ultimate example. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, God the Father in heaven. You see that there. Even as God, God the Father, for who? Christ's sake. Why Christ's sake? You know what that points us to? That points us to the incarnation of the Messiah. It points us to what would be the crucifixion of the Messiah. It points us to the cross. Jesus came to this cross and was the ultimate example. Who are we to say we cannot be kind to one another? Who are we to say that we cannot be tender-hearted to one another? That we cannot forgive one another? If you are a child of God, you are obligated to do these things. And He says, you do it. Because I did it. And no matter how much it is you think that person doesn't deserve kindness, a tender heart from you, forgiveness from you, it doesn't matter. Can I just remind you, the Lord is saying, you are worse than they are. But I forgave you. I forgave you. And therefore, you must do the same. If you are my child. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I love the word hath. You know, I always try to tell you, read the Bible and you better study words. Pay attention to the words. What tense are they in? How are they given? Paul writing right here, church at Ephesus, believers. He says, you folks have been saved. Because God hath past tense forgiven you. You got it. Last night, walking by those folks, reminded of God's grace in our lives. We've seen God's grace again today with Brittany giving her heart to Jesus. God hath forgiven you. One more got rescued. God hath forgiven one more. Practical gifts of Christmas and kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiving. And again, talking about that family that I guess it was that I met last night. Spoke for less than probably 2 or 3 minutes to total. And when he told me the reason that he rejected that card and that tract was because of that other group that had come by. I do not mean this in a condescending way. But one thing you've got to say about some of these groups, some of which are cults, if you look at some of them that are out there, they are committed to what they're trying to do. You look at these terrorists, obviously we disagree, obviously. But they are committed to what they're doing. You look at Adolf Hitler, a wicked, ungodly, murderous man. But Adolf Hitler was one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. He motivated people. And he did it through his speeches. He did it through his propaganda. The most successful propaganda campaign in history came out of Adolf Hitler, the Chancellor of Germany in World War II. I've been to where his house was on the Eagle's Nest in Bertrand's Gardens. And I've seen the motivation that he had, and he kept it right in front of him all the time of how he would lead people. I thought about that last night, about how committed some people are to the practical gifts, we'll call it, of Christmas. While we can run some of these places and these groups down, you know, their doctrines, of course, what does it say about us when we could be doing so much more? Practical gifts of Christmas. Do you need to be more tender-hearted, more kind, more forgiving? I'm sure I do. The reason why is because Christ did it for me. Let's just stand to our feet.